This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Guys, baseball made it all the way through, although they had a blip at the end with this whole Justin Turner thing. But baseball is finished. The Dodgers are champions. And we say good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm doing well, Dave. Good morning to you. Good morning to Rico. I can't tell you guys who was more excited last night. Dodgers fans and Angelinos who get to celebrate their second championship in as many weeks. Or my girlfriend, who was thrilled that she doesn't have to watch baseball again until April. I tried to get her into the sport, guys, but I feel like this is just going to be one of those things that's my thing, and she's going to go about her own business, you know, for 3 or 4 hours.
Well, I will say this. If this World Series did not entice her into watching baseball, you're probably going to be a man on an island.
It's not going to happen. I tried, though. I tried.
Well, that's all you can do. It's all we can ask for. Really.
I mean, a 60-game regular season and this postseason that we've had, if that was too much for her, how is she going to handle 162?
She's not.
Exactly.
She's not a baseball fan. But we turn our attention and say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Chris. I'm awful. I mean, that's just bottom line. I'm awful. I can't even sugarcoat it. I'm awful.
Why are you
awful? I tried to tell you yesterday. I made a huge error in judgment yesterday morning, and I'm paying the price. I can barely sit down. I'm doing the show half standing up right now.
Do I, Chris, dare ask what happened, or do we just move on to like the Dodgers and Justin Turner?
I don't think you can help yourself, Dave. Your curiosity is going to get you in trouble on this.
You as well.
So go ahead and ask.
Are you
want to know?
Are you curious as well?
I am curious as well, Dave, but I'm trying to let you be the bad guy on this.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. All right, Rick Santiago wants to know what happened.
Well, this is what happened, and I tried to tell you this yesterday, but I mean, we only get 2 hours, so I mean, we're talking all the sports. Is I made a huge error in judgment. I didn't listen to my wife. She begged me, please. She even secretly bought me new spandex pants for my birthday. I didn't even ask for them. I didn't want them. I'm fine. I don't like throwing things away. She bought me new ones. I said, please, just do me a favor. Could you throw away the ones that have the holes in the crotch? I said, no, they're fine still. They're fine. They're not going to be a problem. But she was right, as she always is, because yesterday I'm doing shoulders. In the morning, I'm still a little bit tired. I don't realize that I'm wearing the spandex with the hole in it. I got the weight. I got the 60 pounds ready to do some shoulder press, and I sit down real fast, and that's when it happened.
I didn't
have the support that I thought. You know, when you're in the golf cart, Chris, it's a little hot out. You hit a bump, and you accidentally sit on your junkle region.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was with take that force and times it by 100.
Ooh.
I just plopped down right on it with 60-pound dumbbells in my hands.
So let me get this right. You went into your own basement trying to get a workout, probably looking like White Goodman in your spandex pants.
Correct.
And then you sat on your junk.
Directly on it, yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Directly on it.
And you are still having the repercussions of that sitting.
But he's saying he can't sit down right now. He's got to stand up and do the show.
I was icing him during the show yesterday. Did nothing. Did absolutely nothing.
Oh, my sweet Jesus.
Guys, let's get into it. 800-919-3776. And, of course, thoughts and prayers are with our own Rick DiPietro, who is obviously going through a trying, difficult, painful very difficult time. But, obviously, the World Series. Now, we'll get into Justin Turner. Let's start with the actual baseball from last night, though. And I think the one question we all have, you had it at the time. I think we're all going to agree. Rick, what are they doing taking Blake Snell out of the game? He was dominant. He was great against Betts. He was great against the top of the order. That completely changed the entire complexion of this game last night and the series and really the season.
No, that was it. It's the freaking nerds again, man. I mean, this is what happens when you insert yourself. You get a guy who's won a Cy Young. Like, you've actually – Kevin Cash has seen Blake Snell win a Cy Young. And if you watched his first start in the series, was trending in the right direction. And he clearly had as good a stuff as he's had since he won the Cy Young. Was dealing. Mookie Betts – actually, I mean, this is when you know you made a mistake, when they're actually happy you take the pitcher out and put some.
Yep, I heard it too in the post game. Yeah,
but I mean, Kevin Cash is like, well, we didn't want Betts and Seager to see him a third time. Here's the issue: they weren't seeing him. Period. If you watched Mookie Betts' previous at bat, he sat and it was a 2-1 fastball, 95 right down the pipe, and he stared at it. He had no idea what
was
going on.
And then the next one, Rico, he was so late on it. The next one, where he struck out, he was swinging and missing with a strikeout, he was late on it. Like,
yeah,
you could tell.
But, Chris, and then not only did I hate that decision, but I hated who you brought in. Nick Anderson, as good as he was in the regular season, has not been good in the postseason.
No,
he hasn't
had a run consecutive outings?
Yeah, six consecutive.
He was all right in the DS against the Yankees, but outside of that, yeah, he wasn't great in the CS, and he hadn't been great in the World Series.
Well, he's gotten progressively worse as the postseason has gone on.
Yeah.
And then he proceeds to throw two straight balls, gets behind 2-0, and, I mean, Mookie Betts just sits on the fastball and rips it down the left field line. That was it. But and that was it, because you could tell that completely sucked the life out of the entire team.
The entire the game, you might as well have ended the game there, because it was over when the Dodgers took a 2-1 lead. It was over.
That was it. The game was over.
Yeah, it was
a wrap.
The
game right in that moment was over.
It was wrapped. The Rays didn't have a way of being able to consistently manufacture runs outside of home runs in this series. Like, we knew that. And you could say that for the entire postseason. That's who they've been. It's been home run or bust. But the reality is that Snell was going to give you a chance as long as you kept him on the mound. And the fact that you took him out in that sixth inning after he gave up a single to Austin Barnes, like, I don't understand that logic. I know you want to say it's based on the numbers, and you can go through the numbers. First and second time through the order, his opposing batting average is .252, slug .422, and on-base percentage .317. And the third time through the order, batting average of .269, slug of .463, and on-base percentage of .333. So, I mean, I get that the numbers go up, right? We can talk about that and all of that. But you can't ignore what you saw from Blake Snell last night. I mean, he set the tone early, struck out the side, all those guys swinging and missing in the first inning. Dave, it was unbelievable. He had a 1-2-3 second inning. He struck out the side in the fourth. He had a 1-2-3 fifth inning. Like, this dude was dealing, had all four pitches working. If anything, if you were ever concerned about Blake Snell at any point in that game, it would have been in the fourth inning when he spiked a couple of pitches in the dirt. But outside of that, he was phenomenal. So I don't understand why Kevin Cash was in such a hurry to take him out, because the guy was going to keep you in the game.
He did. Analytics had the game for you.
But that's what I'm saying, Dave. Analytics has its place. And Rick and I are not going to sit here and bash analytics. It has its place in sports. We get it. It's useful information. But you can't allow analytics to dictate every single decision that you make, especially when it gets to the postseason, because you're not talking about robots. You're talking about actual human beings. And sometimes guys can rise above the analytics so they can rise to the occasion, and you get those unbelievable performances. And the fact that you didn't let Blake Snell have one of those last night or finish one of those last night, that's the part of it that I'm really disappointed in, because now we don't get to see a seventh game in this series.
Yeah, but see, I don't think it was one of those situations where, like, you're not really believing what you're seeing. Like, this came out of nowhere. Like, this wasn't like the Yankees with Jordan Montgomery. Like, oh, man, I can't believe how good he's pitching. Like, this guy's won a Cy Young.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
When this guy is at his best, he's dominant. And not to mention the fact, you can say what you want about numbers, and I get it. Like, you know, innings 1-3, Blake Snell has been great, and then he kind of falls off a cliff. But when you look at Mookie Betts' numbers, you look at the at-bats first and foremost, was lost. And then you look at his numbers against lefties, you did him a favor. Like, Mookie Betts has not been good against lefties. It's been a reverse split. He's been better against righties. And Nick Anderson has progressively gotten worse.
Yes, and seems to be worn down by this postseason.
Dave, it's a 1-0 game. And if you're
terrible.
Kevin Cash, you're saying to yourself, okay, listen, I mean, do we need to find a way to score runs against this bullpen? We do. But, give the Dodgers credit, too. Their bullpen was great. Like, their bullpen was lights out. So you're thinking to yourself, I may have to win this game 1-0. Like, that's got to be the mindset. Nick Anderson has already shown you in his last six appearances, he's given up at least one run every single appearance. If you're going to make a move, why is Nick Anderson the guy you bring in anyway?
Exactly. You go to your highest leverage reliever. Why not go to Fairbanks? Why not go to one of those other guys? Diego Castillo. Why not go to one of those dudes?
Well, because Anderson's been that guy. I mean, during the regular season, that's
what
Anderson
was. He was their best reliever, yes.
But he hasn't.
But he hasn't been in the postseason. That's what I'm saying. The other guys have been much better than him.
And he's been getting worse. But I agree with you that they probably went to the wrong guy, but to me, the story is taking him out. You can't take him out in that situation. You can't. He's dominant.
No, I'm saying both. I'm saying I agree with you 100%. That was – and this is not – and I think I made this up. I'm not sure if I made this up. I was thinking – this is not revisionist history. I think I made that. Did I make that up?
No, you're not making that up. That's the term.
Oh, that is a term.
Yeah, that's a term.
You make it up.
Well, that's a term. I can't
– because Kay the other day, me and Kay, it was so funny. He's like, I think I made this up. Recency bias.
That was funny.
And Donnie and Peter were like,
serious? He can't have been serious.
Canty, was he not serious?
No, he wasn't serious. He was joking around.
Oh, was he joking around?
He was joking around.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he was serious. He sold it
right.
He was so good.
But
he sold
it.
He did sell it. He did sell it.
He sold it perfectly.
It was good.
Because the reaction from Peter and Don was hysterical. I was dying. I was crying laughing. But I know the initial decision was ridiculous in the first place. Was ridiculous. And then all I'm saying is you compounded the problem by now all of a sudden going to a guy who struggled.
But Rico, if that's Kevin Cash's mindset, if you got to win this game 1-0, why not ride Blake Snell as far as he can go? And then once he gets into trouble, you bring in the reliever that presents the best matchup for you. Why wouldn't you do that?
Because that's not what they've done. This is who they've been.
Now, I understand that's who you've been, man. But, I mean, analytics can take you to the point. But analytics is only to set you up to be in this position to compete for a championship. Sometimes you got to blend the analytics with your knowledge base in what you know of your team and the heartbeat of the game. And the fact that he didn't do that last night cost him a championship.
A chance at one, yeah. It did.
But that's what I'm saying, Dave. That's what I'm saying. Anytime you make a decision like that and it backfires the way that it did, like, you're going to have guys in that clubhouse amongst themselves say that, yeah, that decision might have cost us a championship.
But you knew it. You knew it. The second he made the decision, you knew it. In fact, let's take a listen. Here's the broadcast last night, play-by-play of when they actually made the decision. Dan Shulman, Santi, if you play it, Blake Snell being taken out of the game.
Blake Snell will not face top of the order third time around. They saw what happened in the fifth inning. Snell is not saying anything, showing his displeasure, but he is showing his displeasure with a little shake of the head. He is not happy that he is out. He was fantastic tonight, but the Rays are sticking to their analytical guns, if you will, and that is bringing in a new arm third time through the order.
Their analytical guns. Listen, the top of analytics.
Dave, the top of their order was 0-6
with six strikeouts. Yeah, no, I know,
and they weren't competitive at bats.
No, Mookie Betts looked lost. They all looked lost. I can't believe they did it. I mean, I kind of can, but I can't believe you would do something so asinine.
You know what it reminded me of, though? Because to Chris's point, and you heard Kiermaier after the game, I mean, he said it. He's like, "This, that was Blake Snell's game." Like, Blake Snell, I don't care what the numbers say or how we do things, that was his game to win for us because that's how good he was pitching. That can change your organization. That reminded me, you know what? The first thing I thought was Pete Carroll making
Seattle Seahawks. I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. I knew it. That's exactly what it felt like.
And how did that work out?
Yeah, not great.
Well, no, but even the long-term ramifications of that.
Yeah, they haven't gotten back to that point, no.
But they had to trade everyone. I mean, the Legion of Boom was pretty much, that was it. They were done with Pete Carroll at that point. Like, that locker room was, I mean, and they had to get rid of all those guys.
Yeah.
Because I'd be thinking the same thing. If I was on the Rays right now, I don't care what we've done the entire regular season, and you're usually right. That was, my eyes aren't lying to me right now. Like that, I saw what
I saw. It was terrible. It really was. Let's get to the calls on this. 800-919-3776. I want to listen to Kevin Cash. Here's what he had to say. Now, this is even more frustrating. He's not saying it was set in stone. This was a feel move from Kevin Cash. I don't know why. Here's the manager for the Rays. He's tongue-tied.
He can't even speak. He's so upset.
Speechless.
He
should be speechless, though. If you're Kevin Cash, you got to feel awful. You have to. I don't know how you take the ball from Blake Snell.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's give it another listen. Here's Kevin Cash.
There was no set plan. As much as people think that sometimes, there's no set plan. This organization's tremendous about giving the staff the trust to make the in-game decisions that we feel is going to give us the best chance to win. And I totally respect that. What it unfolded today was pretty tough.
That makes it even worse. If you told me there was a set plan, at least I'd say, all right, well, they just stuck by the plan. Watching him pitch and on your own, in theory,
deciding to take him out is
incredible to me.
He's lying to you. No, I don't buy into what he just told you. I mean, it's a set plan. Anderson was already up in the bullpen. I mean, what else would Blake Snell have had to do last night?
He was perfect.
I mean, he made two mistakes. It was one hard hit ball. And he was clearly, I mean, he was pitching Austin Barnes to try to get, like, let's get out of this, like, let's get a quick out here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to waste pitches. He's not, I mean, if he hurts me, it's going to be a single.
Yeah. And you can live with that. Yeah. The way that he was pitching to the top of the Dodgers order, you can live with that. He had all four pitches working. I mean, he could put the ball exactly where he wanted to, and the Dodgers hitters couldn't touch him.
Dude, he was like Bob Ross last night. He was painting. He had 97, 98.
That was his masterpiece, Rico. You're absolutely right. That was his masterpiece last night, and the manager didn't let him finish it because of the analytics. But listen, you don't have to take our word for it. All you got to do is listen to the post-game interviews from Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger, and they'll tell you themselves. Sandy, we got that sound with Mookie Betts? We got to tee that up, man.
You know, I wasn't exactly sure why, and I wasn't going to ask any more questions after that because he was rolling through that game pretty well. And so, you know, you can't, you know, you just be thankful sometimes.
First of all, they're laughing. Second of all, they can't believe it happened. Third of all, he's like, you just be thankful sometimes.
You know what that reminds me of, Dave? What we talked about in the DS when the Rays were facing the Yankees and they had the kid on the mound. They had Garcia on the mound, and then they decided that we're going to roll with J-Hap. We're going to go with J-Hap. That's what we're going to do in the second inning. See how that worked out for the Yankees. That's kind of how it felt last night when they decided they were going to pull Blake Snell. Like, why would you do that? You're doing exactly what the Dodgers want you to do. Made no sense.
No, made no sense. They're laughing. Look, you talk about Mookie Betts. Here's Cody Bellinger, courtesy of Fox Sports. He's laughing on Kevin Cash taking Blake Snell out of the
game. Yeah, I was shocked. We were kind of joking around. We were like, all right, way to get him out of there in the sixth like we planned. But not like that. But and then we just kind of we rallied from there. And Snell had his stuff today. He was gross. Gross. I would say that it uplifted us.
They're laughing.
It's not us. It's not us, Dave.
The decision
it's not
that
just
was
us.
Made, they're laughing at. It was so egregious. It was I can't believe that. I was rooting for the Dodgers. I wanted a game seven, and I was rooting for the Dodgers. If this was the Mets, Chris, I would be apoplectic this morning on that decision. How do you do that?
You can't make that decision, Dave, but that's the danger of going too far with analytics. And I get it. The Rays, as an organization, they believe in it. How else do you have the third lowest payroll in baseball and field a team that's capable of getting to the World Series and taking the Dodgers, a team who's got a payroll over $200 million in a regular season, six games in the World Series? Like, they have to rely on analytics, but sometimes, again, you got to use your knowledge base and you got to feel the game. And I'm not saying every decision has to be by a manager's gut, but if you just trust your eyes, listen to your eyes, they would tell you that Blake Snell wasn't in any danger in the sixth inning. There was no need to pull him out of the game, but Kevin Cash went ahead and made that decision, and it proved to be the wrong decision based on what we're seeing right now and based on what we heard in the postgame from the Dodgers lineup.
Laughing.
Based on what you saw, but also based on, I mean, on resume, Blake Snell is probably your best player. Like, Blake Snell is the best player on the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, in the postseason, it's been a Rosarena, but yeah, Blake Snell. Yeah, I would agree with that.
If I had said to you before this series started, who's the one pitcher you have the most confidence in on the Rays? You would say Blake Snell.
Blake Snell. No.
Well, I mean, he hasn't been right. Like, this has not been his best season. But he's been trending in this direction.
But last night he was sensational.
No, I know, but he's been he's been trending towards what you saw last night. And Nick Anderson has been trending in the completely opposite direction. Like, Nick Anderson has been getting worse. Blake Snell has progressively gotten better. And last night he was at his best. Like, his absolute
best.
But
Rico, didn't you tell me once upon a time when you have teams that believe in analytics, like they don't believe in hot and cold, they don't believe in streaks and stuff like that? So couldn't that be a part of why Kevin Cash chose to ignore, what he was seeing from Blake Snell last night and why he went with Nick Anderson, even though it hasn't been moving in the right direction?
I mean, I guess that would be the only way to explain why you did
gross.
It. I just don't, I mean, why?
I don't agree with it. I'm just saying, I think that could be a part of it. That's all.
It's gross. It
but
really
at a certain,
is.
I mean, it, but at a certain point, you have to, I mean, I understand numbers because you can, like, it's easier for owners to understand numbers because they've never been in the heat of battle. So you can explain something like, hey, this is why we made the decision. Oh, that makes sense. It's numbers. I can buy into the numbers. But, I mean, part of the reason why you have a guy that managed your team that's played and been in situations like that. I mean, Kevin Cash was a catcher. It was the same reason I was pissed with Aaron Boone. Like, once you sit down with the player, like, once he sat down with J-Hap and he reacted the way he reacted, now all of a sudden your instincts as a former player have to kick in. This ain't going to work. Like, if it was me in that situation and I reacted that way, I'm not going to be at my best, so we got to change the plan. It's the same thing what you saw last night. Like, your eyes are telling you right now, Blake Snell is Cy Young level dominant right now.
Yeah.
And is showing zero signs of wearing down at the moment.
And you can't even say, well, his pitch count was 97. And you were, I mean, it was in the 70s.
There's 73 pitches.
There was no sign.
He was cruising, man. He was cruising. He wasn't in any trouble in that sixth inning, man.
No.
He wasn't in any trouble.
He was never in trouble.
No.
He was as good as any pitcher you've seen this postseason. He was dominant. To take him out is malpractice last night, is what it is.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, why not even just have the GM, I mean, sit in the dugout and manage the team then? Like, why even have a former player be the manager? For what reason? For the optics of it? If you're not going to let the guy make a decision because he's experienced something like that, then why even, it wasn't the set plan. Of course that was the set plan. What else did you need to see from Blake Snell to give you confidence to keep in there last night? It was filthy. It's not like incredible. Mookie Betts in the previous at bat was like all over.
No, it's not even like there was a hard out. It's not, you know, let's say he lined out or you know, hard shot to second base. He struck out twice. The top of the order was overwhelmed with what Snell had last night.
Overwhelmed is the best way to describe it.
Overwhelmed. Let's get him out of the game.
Let's sprint out.
It will never make sense.
Dave, they
ever.
Couldn't put the bat on the ball.
No.
It was a ton of swing and misses last night.
That actually really makes me angry.
But you know why, Dave? Because it feels more like the Rays lost that game than the Dodgers won that game. I mean, credit where credit is due. The Dodgers were one of the favorites coming into this season to win the World Series. But last night's game, it just, I don't know, for whatever reason, it feels anticlimactic. Because you didn't see them necessarily rise to the occasion. You saw a gaffe from Kevin Cash that cost the Rays an opportunity to push it to a Game 7.
Which would have been great. That was ripped away from us now.
Yeah.
It's really a shame. It's really a shame because baseball loses.
Yeah. Charlie Morton and Walker Buehler in Game 7? Oh. You kidding me?
At this point, what we saw with Justin Turner, I mean, would there have been a Game 7? Could you have played a Game 7?
That's crazy.
God
knows,
that's crazy. Right? We'll get into that in a couple minutes.
What kind of testing are you doing where the result doesn't come back to the second inning?
I have no idea.
What kind of testing is that?
No, I have no idea. I took a test on Monday. It doesn't take that long.
You talk about
it does not take that long to get your results.
I mean, they butchered that. We'll get into that in a couple minutes. Let's get to some of the calls on the game, on the analytics of it all. Let's go to Nick in Middletown. Nick, lead us off. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Guys, great job. So I want to make a point. When I used to play blackjack, there was a certain way that you had to play. And you had to play with your eyes closed. And you just played a certain way, and you turn the advantage from the house has a 3% advantage to you have a 3% advantage. So that's the way this analytics thing over baseball, you got a 3% advantage or 5% advantage. But that takes your eyeballs out of the equation. So in analytics, you do not use your eyeballs. And that's where it's completely ridiculous and wrong what Cash did. Takes his eyeballs out of the equation.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what? And to your point, and I get exactly what you're saying, because, I mean, this is the reason why I can't play blackjack with my dad, because he's hitting on 16 and everything else, and I want to fight him.
Oh, God, he's one of those?
Yeah, it's my money. I'll lose it how I want. I said, well, you're losing the rest of the table is losing money because you're being an idiot. I got to kick him out.
So he would hit a 16 against a 6?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's who he is. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down my own way. I'm like, well, you're not playing
in
this table. No. Okay, but to his point, you know, Here's how I would describe it, though. So it would be like playing blackjack. Like Kevin Cash, having played, won a championship, is a really good manager. To your point with the guys, it'd be like if you could count cards and just making the decision that, you know what, I'm not going to count the cards. I'm going to close my eyes and just play by the numbers. If you can count cards, then count cards.
Yes.
Like you saw what you saw. And you chose to ignore it.
You had the advantage. The game was 1-0 for you, and you had your ace on the mound that he was pitching like.
And they didn't. The best part is the Dodgers lineup did not feel like they could get to Blake Snell.
Because they couldn't.
Until you got him out of there, then all of a sudden, okay, now we got a chance.
Yep.
You did them a favor. they couldn't do it, so you did it for them.
It switched on a dime. Rick in the Bronx. Rick, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to say a big shout-out to CC, my man from the Bronx.
My man.
Represent.
Already know.
All right. You know, the top of the lineup was 0 for 6. You know, I mean, he couldn't wait at least to go through the top of the lineup one more time because they looked lost up there. I don't.
Well, that was the reason. Really, I mean, that was the reason they took him out.
That was crazy, man. That was crazy. Then on top of that, you know, I like the old school managers, you know, like Joe Torre and Joe Girardi. I'm a Yankee fan.
That's done.
And the whole thing is that they look at you. Analytics is not new. So they use a little bit of analytics, and they look the guy in his eyes to see what he had left. And clearly, he had a lot left, man. Kevin Cash, like these new breed of managers are killing me with this analytics stuff, man. It's just ridiculous.
Although it's not Kevin Cash, though. Kevin Cash is, and thanks for the call, Rick, is the representative of the way of analytics.
Yeah, but and there's no more proof than that than Dave Roberts still having a job.
That's true, too.
You know what I mean? Like, he's, I mean.
How many times have they gotten to the World Series and they've been ousted, or the NLCS and been ousted?
And he's made bad decisions with the pitching staff that, I mean, have cost
even
you World,
this
World Series.
I don't think he was all that good.
Yeah.
No, but you keep your job because you're, I mean, you're doing the bidding for the...
Yeah, because you're the yes guy.
The people giving you the numbers.
Yeah, but terrible. You can't use analytics as the Bible, man. You can't let it dictate every single decision.
If it keeps you, I mean, if it keeps you employed, I guess you do.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I mean, I guess I feel like the fans in baseball lose. Because first of all, it's not necessarily the most entertaining brand of baseball. But secondly, it's just like you inevitably run into these types of situations once it gets to winning time in the postseason. How many times do we talk about it? It seems like it's every single postseason we see a manager that's doing it by the numbers and a decision ultimately doesn't work out and their team can't advance. We always talk about it.
And you know what my favorite part is too, is after the team that wins the World Series, like if you were listening last night and you heard, you know, Seager was the MVP and then they asked him about, you know, what it took to win. And he's like, you know what it is? It's finding a way to generate runs, to
That's
manufacture
it.
Runs, put
yep.
pressure on the defense.
Yep. That's exactly what he
every
said.
Every team that wins the World Series ends up saying that, and yet we spend the entire season focused on home runs, walks, and on-base percentage.
Well, that was the story for the 2018 Boston Red Sox, right? That took care of my Yankees in four games in the DS and went on to beat to beat the Dodgers in the World Series. Like that's what it was. It was a team that was great at being able to generate runs, whether it was home runs or just putting the ball in play. They were great in two-out situations. They were great with their two-strike approach. Like, it was just one of those lineups that was going to be relentless in terms of putting pressure on opposing pitchers, putting pressure on opposing defenses. You got to have that kind of versatility. And that's not, you know, I don't understand why more teams in baseball don't understand that that's what it takes to finally get over that hump and win a championship, especially
really
the Yankees.
It's infuriating. It really is. I'm angry at the game of baseball right now. Alfonso in Orange. Alfonso, you're next up on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Rick. Just wanted to get your take on the whole COVID testing stuff. I don't know, but with the NBA and the NFL, it seems like players and the teams get the results before the game starts. But in this particular case, guy gets pulled out in the eighth inning. We don't know why. And then he's allowed to celebrate after the game with no mask on. And there's just tons of pictures and videos with him just hanging out with his team. Just takes me a little bit back to, like, the Miami Marlins and MLB not really putting the hammer down and really taking the COVID stuff serious. I don't know how he was able to celebrate with his teammates afterwards.
They told him no. Alfonso, they told him no. They said, we do not want you on the field. He said, I don't
Come
care.
On.
I'm going on the field.
Well, but what are you going to do if you're Justin Turner, though, man? I mean, you've been
you got to go out there and celebrate.
You've been around your team the entire game, too. I mean, the problem starts when you don't have your test results back before the game starts. You don't get him back. You get an inconclusive in the second inning and then find out he's positive later in the game. He's been around his team the entire day.
I understand, but still, I mean, your manager has cancer, and the team photo, and you're standing next to him?
You've been next to him the whole game at that
but
point.
But now
you're not
going to
celebrate a World Series?
I mean,
yeah, I'm going to celebrate a championship.
NBA is about to start a basketball game. Rudy Gobert tests positive. The entire league shuts down. This guy tests positive. Let's just run
out regular
there. It's a regular season game versus winning a championship, Dave. It's a little bit different. The only thing that I will criticize Justin Turner on is, bruh, you got to have a mask on the entire time. You got to have a mask on.
You ripped it off.
You got to have a mask on the entire time. Like, if you know you're positive, like, you got to try to – I understand wanting to celebrate a championship because, you know, it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime things. Even though you can win multiple championships, it's still like a once-in-a-lifetime achievement. Like, I understand wanting to celebrate it after getting so close so many years and having that disappointment. But you got to try to be – you got to try to be as safe as you possibly can in that moment, man. You do. What's wrong with putting the mask? What's wrong with keeping your mask on?
He had it on, and then he took it off.
What's wrong with keeping it on?
You don't want to be in the team pitcher with the mask on. Come on.
I don't give a damn. Everybody knows 2020 is different. Oh, okay, yeah, that was the year with COVID and everything like that. You had to deal with the pandemic. Okay, cool. Like, everybody would understand if you had a mask on in that moment. Like, don't let vanity end up being the reason why one of your teammates or, God forbid, your manager gets really, really sick. That's selfish,
but I think,
man.
No, I know what you're saying, but I think that speaks, I think, the mindset of most of the athletes in all these sports.
If they get it, it's not really going to be a big deal.
If they get it, they get it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact is, I don't understand it. Maybe it's just because this is the last couple games, and they're just going to, you know, head down, push through this whole thing. I just don't understand how you have a testing protocol where you don't get the results of the second inning.
That's what I don't understand, man. I took a test on Monday afternoon and got my results Tuesday morning. Like, I mean, this is Major League Baseball.
There's got to be a better way.
There's got to be a way to be able to turn that around a little bit quicker.
It's embarrassing. And they made it all the way through. I mean, they made it all the way through. We're eighth inning of the World Series, and this happens with Justin Turner.
Well, I think, I mean, you get. I don't want to say, I mean, maybe the word isn't lazy, but it's you're in a bubble. You've had no positive tests.
Complacent.
You can get complacent.
Yeah,
And at that point, when there's only a game or two left, it's like you don't even want the results back. Like, what happens if there's a game seven? I mean, can you play? How do you play a game seven now?
I don't know what you do. You'd have to play, wouldn't you?
I guess, or you just
they will play. I mean, they will play
just,
that game.
You just pretend like everyone tested negative. Yeah, we tested everyone. They're all negative. Okay, nothing to see here. Until after
really
someone wins, then and a week later, you find out the entire both teams have it.
That just goes to show you, though, Rico. It's not about player safety. That's not the priority. It's about the bottom line in the almighty dollar. That's what it is. That was the motivation for all of these teams to get back. It wasn't about being able to, you know, bring that convenient distraction away from the reality that we're all dealing with. It's about we got to make sure we honor these television contracts so we can make sure we keep this thing rolling and make sure we're generating revenue. That's
right.
What it is, man.
That's right. Isn't almost everything like that, though? Sports and non-sports?
No, Dave, but it's just the way that these professional sports leagues frame it, though. You know what I mean? Like, oh, listen, we want to be a part of getting society back to normal, being able to have some sense of normalcy. Haven't we heard all of those things the last 4 or 5 months from all of the commissioners of the major sports?
It's all we want to get out there because we need our money.
That's the owners want to get paid.
Rick, you know what this is from?
From the nerds.
Oh, you're so good. That's Poindexter, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what happens. Revenge of the Nerds. That's what happened to the Yankees in Game 2.
It's a great movie.
It's a terrific movie.
Nerds!
Anybody that says differently is not an appreciator of fine film and cinema.
I couldn't agree with you more. Could not agree with you more.
It's a great movie.
I may actually try to carve out a couple minutes. No, that's not going to happen. I was going to say I'd watch Nerds again. I don't have time.
You should. Now, you can't watch it with Milo quite yet, but you should watch it again. You should.
When would you suggest I do that? Tell me where in my schedule.
I have the answer for you. Perfectly. You typically wake up at what time?
I wake up at 4 a.m.
And you do what when you work out?
Oh, now I see what you're saying. That's actually you actually make a very
what do you
very
what do you do when you
point.
Work? You watch sports, right?
If there's no sports, I can watch the Nerds.
What sports?
You can work it in there. There you go.
Nerds.
See, Dave. This is what I'm
which is the
about
best here. One though? Revenge the of the Nerds. Which one is the best one?
The first one.
The first one.
Oh, sensational!
I like the one Nerds in Paradise. That was a pretty good one.
That's when they go down to Miami.
Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved it, Dave.
I appreciate that as well. But to me, the first one is brilliant.
Nerds in Paradise.
Nerds in Paradise. Loved it. Personal preference, man. What do you want me to say? I feel like Rick would have been an alpha beta, though. He wouldn't have been a tri-lane.
Absolutely.
Rick would have been an alpha beta.
And then
alpha
when you beta. Burn down the house, taking over their house, 100%.
Dave would have been Dave's a master.
Best of the best, baby. Thank you. 800-919-3776.
Did I mention I need these 2 hours every day? Like, I need these 2 hours.
I think everyone does.
Because besides these 2 hours, I really have... I don't have much else, really. I don't.
Stop it. Really? I'm going to listen to you complain?
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying this is the truth.
You have nothing else. You have a beautiful wife.
I know what he means, though. This is his. It's like he's in the locker room just chopping it up with his teammates.
Exactly right.
Like, yeah, I know exactly what he's talking about. I feel the same way.
No, I get it, I mean, which is great. But outside of this show, I mean, did I mention, like, it was my birthday in September. Would you like to know where the kids sang me happy birthday?
In the shower.
I was on the toilet.
Yeah.
They came busting in to see me happy birthday. And that's 100% the truth. I was on the toilet and they came busting in to sing happy birthday.
I don't doubt it.
In my OCD now.
No boundaries, no space.
You don't have anything that's just yours, Rico, is what you're saying.
You know, I will tell you outside of the show what's mine is that like, I am now tasked with when, like, as we make our way up the stairs to go to bed, like, I'm the one who turns everything off. And my OCD, like, I'm finding new creative ways to get more and more involved with OCD where I got to, like,
get involved.
Yeah, like, every one of the knobs on the stove I have to, like, turn off, like, three times each. And then I got to go into the garage and make sure the refrigerator is closed. Then I got to take the keys to my wife's car and make sure the car is locked. Dude, I'm telling you right now, it's bad.
I'm getting worse.
I'm paranoid with the stove too, though. That's one of those things. Like, I just make sure that you just make sure that everything is off before you go to bed. That's the one thing that I will come back downstairs and double check and triple check.
Well, that's bad news. If you leave the stove on.
Yeah, I don't want to have. I mean, the last thing I want to have is like a Britney Spears situation where I got to post on Instagram that I burnt my gym down or something. Hey, guys. Yeah, I burnt my gym down.
No, Barbasol shaving cream comes out thick and rich. And
it's a great transition, Dave. Great transition.
That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream. Close Shave America, Close Shave Barbasol. We'll get into Justin Turner in a moment. More calls, 800-919-3776. John in Staten Island. Good morning, John. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, guys. You guys, in my opinion, you guys got the best sports show. What chemistry? I've been listening to you guys for a few months now. I'm very hooked. I think you guys do an awesome job.
Thank you for listening.
That's
thank you for calling.
Number one. Number two, Rick, I hope you're done having kids. That's all I could say, bro.
I think that's out of my hands now, to be honest.
Yeah. It sounds like maybe you could sort of learn how to sing soprano, but, you know, you do have a great show. Canty, my girl's a big football fan. And she's actually a fan of yours, but you know what? I got her into baseball because I love all sports. I love betting on all sports. And I had Tampa Bay for the series. Let me tell you something. Cash owes me money, man. Kevin Cash. That's got to be the stupidest move. That's got to be – I don't care for all the goodies on that. I mean, that is like – I couldn't believe my eyes. When I'm watching, and then I see 73 pitches. I mean, there's no excuses for this. There's no excuses. And the only reason the Dodgers, that pathetic team that chokes every year, they can thank Mookie Betts, the best baseball player.
He's
forget
awesome.
About Mike Trout. Mookie
He's
Betts,
awesome. But you know what, John? Let's not belittle the Dodgers. The Dodgers are a great team. They are a great team.
Mookie Betts was the – what do they call that? When it puts the team over the top? He won me a lot of money.
He was the missing piece.
On the Red Sox. I don't know how the Red Sox let him go. The guy's the best baseball player. A little skinny guy. Unbelievable baseball player. You guys have an awesome show. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's a great call. Great call.
He's right. He's great. Yeah. Mookie Betts is great, but that team is littered with talent, and they're young, and they're going to be good forever.
Yeah, they're going to be around for a long time. And I remember Kay and the guys were talking about it a couple of days ago about how the Boston Red Sox will look at that Mookie Betts trade, and they will lament that for the next decade.
It was a terrible trade.
It's a terrible
trade. They couldn't afford to pay him.
You're the Red Sox. You're not the Marlins.
All right,
you have to figure out a way to pay him.
Okay,
you're the Red Sox. Pay him.
Okay, but how do you – if you're not going to – listen, if you're going to spend – and he asked for, I think Kay was saying, $420 million or something like that. Is there enough talent around him to justify paying him $420 million? You justify
now,
paying
probably
someone that,
not.
Well, exactly
but,
right. But
that $420 is going to happen for how long?
Exactly. That's the part.
At some point during that run, you're going to – you would
yeah,
hope
at some
build
point,
a team that's going to be sensational.
Okay. Yeah, but Dave, let's also realize that Mookie Betts, what makes him great is his athleticism. As he gets older, that's going to start going away and disappearing.
But he's still a damn good baseball player.
I know,
though.
And exactly why the Dodgers can justify paying him $365 million. They just got the championship out of it. The Red Sox biggest mistake was signing – after they actually got what they wanted was, for some reason, signing Chris Sale to that money. Like, they made other bad decisions that didn't allow them to sign Mookie Betts.
I'm just saying, if you're a large market team and you trade away a talent like that...
What you should be pissed off about is that the Mets didn't trade for Mookie Betts.
I am.
Yeah, if that Steve Cohen deal happens a year ago, then maybe you're talking about them being in on that deal. But
I am.
Yeah, man,
and
Mookie...
I'm upset that he signed a long extension to stay. Because if he was a free agent now, I think the Mets would be very involved in him.
Listen, 2020 has been amazing. A terrible year for most of us, but who Mookie Betts? It's unbelievable.
Right. Pat Mahomes and Mookie Betts are just, I mean, they're
get 400, getting 400 mil, going from Boston to L.A. and winning a championship.
How tall is he?
He's tiny.
Like, yeah, I think he's like
5'10". I don't want to hear like he's 5'10", because he's not 5'10".
He's not 5'10"?
No way. That's what they'll tell you, but there's no way he's 5'10".
I don't know. I've never met the man, Dave. I couldn't tell.
I know Gigi. You remember, obviously
you
guys know
Gigi. She said that she talked to him and she towered over him.
And she was taller than him.
Right. And I don't remember her being that tall, do you?
No, she's not that tall.
Right. So she's maybe, what, 5'8"?
Yeah, she's probably, I mean, close, 5'7".
Yeah, he's not that tall, but his money is. His money is.
Yeah, he stands on his wallet. He's.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
He's awesome.
And then being in L.A.?
But you know what's amazing, though, to me? Well, I mean, you say that until all of a sudden, wait till he sees his tax bill.
No, but he got a signing bonus in Tennessee, because that's where he makes his home.
Yep. Smart as he. Now I can respect that. What's amazing to me, though, is we spent all this time for 162 games, it was 60 this year, talking about, you know, all the analytics of, you know, on-base percentage and exit velocity and home runs and everything else. Look at the first two runs the Dodgers scored. Was that analytics?
Nope.
It was a soft single, a double, a wild pitch, and then Mookie Betts makes an unbelievable read off a ground ball to first.
He's a great player. He's a great base runner. He's great. There's not a weakness in his game. Really. Hits for power, has speed. Great
his defense
fielder,
was awesome.
Terrific arm. He's great. If I told you he's the best player in baseball right now, you can't argue it.
No.
You could say you'll take Trout, but you can't argue if I say that Betts is the best.
All right, here's Gigi, what she says. I'm taller than Mookie, even when he's in cleats. I'm not even 5'5". And I know this because he...
There's no way he's 5'4".
We said, and I know this because he handed me his phone once to video himself taking BP.
There is no way he's 5'4", 5'3".
I'm telling you what she wrote.
So Mookie Betts is Muggsy Bogues territory, is what
you're
saying.
You tell me he's 5'4"?
Listen, I'm not telling you anything. Gigi's telling you. I'm just reading what she wrote. I've never stood next to the man.
Right. No, I understand, and I respect Gigi, but to think that he's 5'4 is difficult to believe.
He's not a big guy.
No.
But he's a hell of a baseball player, and he made all the difference with the Dodgers this year.
Yep.
All the difference.
That team is scary.
Yeah.
What they have and what they're going to be, and by the way, we haven't even mentioned this because we would destroy him if he was on the other side. I feel so good for Clayton Kershaw.
Oh,
He was terrific in this postseason.
And he pitched well in the World Series.
He pitched great in the postseason, pitched great in the World Series, was really, really good after they had a really tough loss over the weekend. Good for him. I mean, he deserves that title. Good for him.
Yeah, it completely changes the conversation around his career. Like, he's been one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball, but he hadn't performed in the postseason. And now that you put a championship on your resume and you actually perform when the pressure's on, that whole narrative about him not being a big-game pitcher, that all goes away now. Same for Dave Roberts, too. Dave Roberts wasn't able to win the big one. All the mistakes that he's made in the postseason in the past, that has to all go away now.
It does. It goes away. You win. And they're going to be good for a long time. Let's go to Albert in Dumont. Sounds official. Albert, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. Great show, like always. Do you guys remember that playoff game with Mussina where Joe Torre was taking him out and Mussina pushed Joe Torre back into the dugout?
Yep.
So with Snell, do you think if Snell would have showed more, you know, more motion?
No.
He didn't have the chance.
No.
Kevin Cash didn't give him a chance. He called the second he got off the top step, he called for Nick Anderson.
I think he just they're letting these managers, you know, these pitchers are just letting them, you know. I mean, I would have fought if I was Snell. It wouldn't have mattered.
What do you want him to do?
But it wouldn't have mattered. He already called for Nick Anderson. Has to come in. The second he calls for Nick Anderson has to come in.
What do you, Albert? What do you want him to do? Not give the ball up?
No, what he's talking about is what happened with
Matt Harvey did. I understand.
No,
I would like it too.
No, not what Matt Harvey did, because I don't agree with that either. He pitched 8 great innings. You're going to your closer. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. That was a mistake. Like, Matt should have been
he wants him to have that mindset going back out there.
Exactly, but what he's talking about, that happened in the Houston Astros series, where Dusty Baker went out, looked into Zach Greinke's eyes, and let him stay out there.
Oh, yeah.
But Kevin Cash didn't even want to have that conversation.
He wasn't going to.
No, he didn't want to have his mind, because he knows it was the wrong decision.
It was a horrendous decision.
What you're saying is Kevin Cash didn't give himself an opportunity to second-guess the decision.
Yeah, this is what we're doing. This is who we are.
Brutal. Worst decision, last night or Yankees against the Rays?
Last night.
Yeah?
Yeah, man, you're in the World Series Game 6. Can't mess around with that. If Blake Snell is pitching the way that he was last night, you got to ride him like Seabiscuit, man.
And it's Blake Snell. It's not Davey Garcia.
It's a Cy Young Award winner. Yeah. That guy.
You know what he's capable of doing when he's got his stuff. And last night he had, like, that was one of the best games I've ever seen Blake Snell pitch.
I would agree with that.
And in that moment, to pitch like that, and he was efficient, and he was dominant, and they could not touch him, and you take him out of the game. It'll never make sense.
No, it'll never make sense, but I mean, that's what Kevin
But you
Cash
can never, that's one of those, Dave, that it's hard to make right to the guys in the clubhouse.
Yeah, you'll never get that moment back.
Yeah, I don't know how you square that circle with your players if you're Kevin Cash. I don't know.
Bad. It's bad. It's a shame. I really.
It's not Blake Snell's fault though.
Tonight.
He did his job.
No, it's not Blake.
No, he did his job.
You could blame 50 people before him. He did nothing wrong.
Yeah, he did his job.
He was on the short end of things. All right, Rick, are you ready? Because you need to carry your weight today.
Let's do it. Come on. You know I love Andy.
Andy, I mean, he's going to be in a good mood. That we know. He's going to stay hydrated, stay healthy. That we know. But the questions will be difficult, and they are hockey. Andy and Merrick, good morning.
Good morning, DCR. After a quick jaunt up to Toronto yesterday, I'm out west. I'm driving on the 405 freeway, getting ready for a big celly with those world champion Dodgers. So as long as I'm out in Tinseltown, I have four L.A. Kings.
Do you rehearse this? Really? Before you come on the air, do you like stand in front of the mirror and read this?
There's no mirrors in the basement, Dave. You know that.
Well played, Andy.
Very nice, Andy.
All right, where's my Sven goalie at?
Here we go, buddy. Let's go. Come on. Be
all
gentle.
All right. Single season record for most goals by an L.A. King with 70. Ooh. Name him.
Most goals by a King, 70.
Spend some time with the Rangers.
Is it Robitaille?
Spend some time with the Devils, too.
Bernie Nichols.
Bang.
You don't need me, Dave. Look at you.
Most penalty minutes in a single season by an L.A. King.
Most penalty
also spend some time with the Rangers.
Marty McSorley.
Two for DR.
I mean, Rick, I'm just going to lay going
on
here today.
Get your thinking cap on. Most wins by a goalie in a single season is 40 by a King. Name him.
Is that recent?
Oh, yeah.
That's got to be quick.
It is quick. Thought you might fall into the Rogi Vachon trap.
No. Yes. Dare you.
You set up that Rogi Vachon trap beautifully, Andy.
And finally, the most losses by a Kings goalie in a single season. Unfortunately, it's got a little Islander flavor to it. Name him.
Kelly Rudy.
Kelly Rudy is it. Fellas, let's be careful out there, especially during your Dodgers celly. And as always, be safe, boys.
Well, that's the great Andy from Merrick. Well done.
Selly in the celly. Look at Andy. Look at you, David.
How about that?
Pretending like I'm going to need to carry you, NHL. You know everything.
I don't know. I mean, that was just... Listen, he gives you little hints. It was like Jeopardy, where they give you the answer, and then they give you like the little hint in addition. If he wouldn't have said Islanders flavor, I wouldn't have known Kelly Rudy.
Yeah, but you would have come. I mean, you wouldn't have known it as quickly, but you would have got to it eventually.
Maybe.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, this is just... Yeah. Listen. Give yourself credit, man. This is the best thing that... It's the best thing that you do, let's be honest.
You think of everything that I'm capable of, that's as good as it gets.
Sports trivia, no question.
You're the best at this.
Best. Like,
I mean, and I think everyone realizes it. Like, there's no question. This isn't like a debatable conversation. Like, you are the best at this.
That's my thing.
It's your thing.
All right, I'll take it. Could be worse than that. Being my thing.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.